4 years ago, Governor Deval Patrick signed a $1 billion initiative designed to spur investments in the life sciences. Today, there was an example of where some of that money ended up. The Joslin Diabetes Center, which broke ground on a new research center in the Longwood Medical Area. Congressman Michael Capuano was there and stressed what this kind of public investment means.
I'm looking at the words, patient care, science, medical innovation. All of that costs money. A lot of that is taxpayer money.
It was at the Joslin Center back in 2008 when Governor Deval Patrick announced the signing of that billion-dollar life sciences initiative. Well, 4 years on, how's it working out? To help us answer that is WBUR's business and technology reporter, Kurt Nickisch. Hey, Kurt.
Glad to be here.
So back in 2008, Governor Patrick said this initiative would bring the state lots of badly needed jobs. Let's listen to a bit of what he said 4 years ago.
Yes, there will be many thousands of jobs for scientists and manufacturing workers, for researchers and lab technicians alike, and we look forward to those.
In fact, Kurt, he said the biomedical initiative could create as many as 250,000 jobs. So 4 years on, this 10-year program, are we on track?
Not even close if you consider direct jobs. So far, it can be measured that this initiative has created 8,000 direct jobs, about half of which were temporary construction jobs. So that's even though the state has spent a lot of that $1 billion, so far about $300 million worth. A little bit behind schedule, considering we're four years in, but yeah, $300 million of investment.
$300 million for 4,000 permanent jobs. Is that cost effective? Does this mean that the investment is paying off?
Well, let me let Governor Deval Patrick answer that. Here's what he said today, calling it an unqualified success.
We're trying to invest for the long term, to make the kinds of decisions now that are going to make a difference in a generation. That's why this is a decades-long initiative, and we're in the early years of it. And in those early years, I think the results have been terrific.
And his point really is that this is an investment in a sector, not directly in companies. Remember, when he made this announcement, it was 5 years ago that they announced that they were going to do this, and he did it at this Bio International Convention for the biotech industry. It was meant to send a signal that Massachusetts was open to this industry. And so those 4,000 direct permanent jobs don't include all the companies that have come to Massachusetts because they want to do business here. And there have been a bunch of those lately.
So government investment in private technology companies has had a somewhat rocky history recently anyway. We're reminded of the video game company 38 Studios in Rhode Island, Kurt Schilling's company that went bankrupt. Massachusetts investment in the solar panel manufacturer Evergreen Solar went sour before that. How risky is this for the state?
It's tricky. I mean, so let's talk about the tax incentives first. And part of this $300 million has gone to tax incentives, about a third of the spending so far. But these measures do have stronger clawback provisions. There have been some state grants where companies have returned their money back to the state because they weren't able to sort of meet the job commitments that they said they were going to do. And so that's been less risky than some of those signature failures we've heard about. But the rest of this is infrastructure investment, spending that does have to be matched. So the other $200 million in spending has gotten nearly $1 billion in private investment to be matched, but it's also something that you don't really see the benefit for years down the road.
Mm. Now, since Patrick signed this into law 4 years ago, the state has done much better compared to the rest of the country in terms of its own economy. But is the down economy, has it had an effect on the life sciences initiative and the state's investment?
For sure. That's basically the main reason that the state is behind schedule, having spent, you know, less than a third of the money that it earmarked for this, even though we're basically halfway through the time window. So state spending did get tighter. It was also harder to find some of the private investment that was supposed to match this. So that slowed down. But the fact is this industry has been growing, even though the economy contracted and has been growing slowly over the same period. And then the other reason is that, you know, this industry is changing. You know, I don't know if you remember 5 years ago, but stem cells, huge topic. Mm-hmm. And part of this program was to set up a state-run embryonic stem cell bank, which they did, but they haven't put nearly as much money into it. Here's what the head of the Massachusetts Life Science and Life Sciences Center said about this. Her name is Susan Wyndham Bannister.
The idea of a bricks and mortar entity that houses stem cells is less of a value creation than it was, because again, everyone's learned how to maintain their own.
So basically, the state has spent less money on the stem cell bank, and they're putting more money into other things that they think are going to make a bigger difference.
All right, WBUR's business and technology reporter, Kurt Nickisch, thanks so much.
Sure thing.
Well, up next, Rhode Island becomes the first state in the nation to pass a homeless Bill of Rights. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.